please, of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, please. Matt, I appreciate that song so much. It fits, of course, with the lesson from this morning, which I'm guessing is why you picked it. And let me just say how much I appreciated all of the comments that I received after the lesson this morning. The comments that mean the most to a preacher are not the ones of good sermon, but it's the one where you see that God's message has truly penetrated people's hearts. And I could tell this morning just so many of y'all came to me and told me about your own personal fight with sin. And brethren, we're fighting together. We're going to take our swords up together and we're going to wage war against the evil one together. And that's what I was reminded of this morning and truly appreciate the comments on that. And if I can just make one other comment, let me just say a personal thanks to the deacons as well. I don't know if y'all have noticed or not, but the flickering has been fixed in here. And I know there were lots of hours, man hours, that went into that. And our deacons do a lot of work. And I know that there was some good problem solving that went into that to get that fixed. And I know there's more important things than flickering. But I also know it was distracting to God's message. And there's so much that they do behind the scenes in preparation for the meeting, before the meeting, after the meeting, and just our general work. Just thank you so much to all of y'all for what you do. And also thank you for fixing the lighting. I personally love the LEDs, and I'm glad that they now work without the flickering. This evening what I would like to do is talk about working together. Dan reminded us during our meeting that we have a lot of growth to do collectively. A lot of his meeting focused on individual growth, but he also spoke quite a bit about collective growth. And as we look at our general theme of the year of seeking, knowing, and serving God, we've discussed how that is both an individual and a collective endeavor. Well, this evening what I would like to do is discuss principles that lead to effective collective collaboration. The question I want to pose is this: how do we overcome personality differences and similarities when working with brethren? As we work together collectively, as we collaborate together, we are going to have personality differences with others. Again, not something that's going to surprise us. There are over 4 billion people in this earth. There are over, I think, we've now reached over 330 million Americans. We're very different. You're never going to find 2 people just the same. Yet, there's certain personality characteristics that I think are evident and somewhat transcendent across us to help us to understand how to actually work together and how we as God's people can work with people who are either separate from us or similar to us, and how that can then allow us to have an effective work and success in the work that we do together. So what we're going to do this evening is we're going to look at 3 principles drawn from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm also going to introduce a couple of personality ideas that I think may be helpful as we go about accomplishing this goal. So let me begin with my first claim, and that is this. There was an assumption in my question that I want to go ahead and argue for. And my assumption is this: we must work together. We must work together, period. Christianity is not, as I once heard it described, an individual sport. There was a young man at Purdue who was a Christian, raised in a Christian home. And the evangelist and I were meeting with him, trying to get him more involved, trying to get him more integrated. And whenever he explained to us the reason he wasn't involved, he said, "Look, Christianity, it's an individual sport." It took me aback completely. Christianity is not an individual sport. It is, as Daniel reminded us on Wednesday night, it's a team sport, and we're going to play it to the whistle. And our collective acts that we do together, God has given a collective, a church, where we have to work together. Just doing my own thing is not an option when it comes to God's work. We must work together. And this is what Paul expounds upon in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, you remember the church at Corinth is a church that is plagued with problems. In our New Testament class, we'll deal some with the church at Corinth. But throughout the New Testament, they're a church that it just seems to have problem after problem. But in spite of this, and I would even say perhaps because of this, they are going to have to learn to work together. Let's notice what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12. "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I would not belong to the body, that would not make it any less of a part of the body. But if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Again, there's three principles that I want us to discuss throughout this evening, but the first is this, and this is the one we're going to spend the most time on. A unified body requires different members. There is a sense in which God's church is diverse. There is a sense in which there are different skills and different dynamics that are given to each part of the body. And diversity, in this sense, is not something to be avoided, but it's what gives strength to the body. The image that Paul uses is this: if only the body consisted of an ear, where would you see? If the body were only an eye, how would you hear? If the body were just a tongue, how would you touch? You have to have all of these different parts of the body working together. And it is these different parts of the body that when they come together in this great synergistic idea, that they are going to accomplish something together that is far greater than anything they could do individually. And that's the idea of a body, right? The body together, when all of the members are working together, does something far greater than any of the individual parts could do separately. So as we look at this principle then, yes, a unified body requires different members. Now, these differences can come in various forms. The idea that Paul is talking about in the original context of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's really the idea of spiritual gifts, and he's going to apply that a little bit later in the text. He's talking about the various gifts that have been given and how each of us have a different role to play. But I think this idea of different skills of the body is certainly applicable to other applications. We think, for example, that we have Christians who come from different backgrounds as ours. There are cultural differences. The Bible transcends different cultures. There are ethnic differences. There are certainly gender differences. The gospel transcends these. But likewise, a difference that I think that we all recognize is within the body of Christ, there's different personalities. The hand has a personality and an essence far different from an ear. The tongue is far different from the eye. And there's these different personalities that work together. Let me ask them this question. How do we understand our different members? Do y'all ever just meet somebody that you just leave and you just go home and just scratch your head and wonder, where did they come from? I mean, it's just like, where did this person come from? Did aliens drop them here? I mean, it's just, they're just so different. And then, of course, goes without saying, there are certain people we just find difficult to work with, right? There are some people that from the first moment we meet them, we just, you know, we're almost like lifelong friends. We can work together. We can do things together. And we're just going to have that collaboration. There's other people that I think I have gotten my first gray hair from. I mean, it's just, there's different personalities. How do we understand these? Grace and my best friend's here this evening, and I was going to use this story anyway, Grayson. I didn't know you were going to be here. But Grayson and I, we are, I think, if I have it right, fifth cousins twice removed. But we really didn't know each other growing up. But during our first semester, we started Florida College the same time. We didn't like each other. I mean, it just flat out, we just didn't like each other. We had completely different personalities. You know, both Kentucky boys, both, of course, had a family connection. Both of us had similar religious beliefs, similar views of the Bible. And spiritually, we were on the same page on most things. But personality-wise, we just didn't like each other. Well, my question is this: how do you understand our different members? And I'd actually like to share with you this evening something that Gracian shared with me back in 2008, and I've still used a decade later. It's called the four temperaments. Some of you may have heard of this before. There's various names for it, but I'm going to provide you one tonight, giving you the story of the lion, the retriever, the beaver, the otter. This is actually something that comes from 400 BC. Hippocrates developed this, the great father of medicine. I would like to read you a story that illustrates these four animals. Four animals set out to build a dam: an otter, a golden retriever, a beaver, and a lion. The otter swam around in the pond and had such a wonderful time playing, he forgot why they were there. The beaver got angry at the otter for being so lazy and playing all the time while he was so busy cutting down the trees to build the dam. The lion took charge, saying he knew just how to solve their problems, while the golden retriever busied himself trying to keep the peace. These are the four temperaments, the four major differences in people. So here's what you have in this story. You have the otter, who is just swimming around the river, just having a good time, doesn't even remember that there's a dam to build. And then you have the beaver over off to the side, getting the wood chopped and getting everything done, and they're just getting everything done. And then the lion comes in, and the lion's going to tell everybody how to do it. And then the golden retriever's going to come and try to make peace with everybody. And these four temperaments, I think, really help us to understand each other. Now, let me say this. Most of us, I think, have one dominant and probably a recessive of these. I'm not going to tell you mine for just a little bit, even though probably most of y'all can already guess. But, no laughing, Kirby. But when you look at these four different temperaments, all of us have different aspects of them. And not a one of these is more godly or righteous than another one. I'm going to illustrate that here in a second. God uses different personalities to his glory, and different personalities and different temperaments accomplish different roles in the kingdom of God. Well, how do you describe each of these? The four P's are sometimes used to describe these. The lion is the powerful one. The lion is the one who is in charge and who is in control and who knows the situation. Let me relate it to you this way. The lion likes to lead. The lion is good at making decisions and is very goal-oriented. Because lions are thinking of the goal, they can step on people to reach it. Lions can be very aggressive and competitive. Lions must learn not to be bossy or to take charge in others' affairs. That's the lion. The lion came up to the dam and he's going to get it done. He's going to tell everybody else. He's going to take charge of the otter. He's going to take charge of the beaver. He's even going to take charge of that golden retriever. He's going to get it done. The retriever's the peaceful one. The retriever is good at making friends. They're very loyal. Their personalities don't like a lot of change. They're very secure. They can be somewhat sensitive. They're the caring ones. They have deep relationships, but usually just a couple ones, and they want to be loved by everyone. That's the golden retriever. The golden retriever doesn't want the lion and the otter to be mad at each other. The golden retriever wants to come, and he's going to make peace between the lion and the otter. Then you have the beaver. The beaver is the perfect one. The beaver is the one who is organized. They think there is a right way to do everything, and they want to see everything exact in the way they do things. They desire to solve problems, and they take time to do things right and precisely. Finally, the otter is the popular one. The otter is the social creature. They love people. They enjoy being popular, influencing and motivating others. They can sometimes be hurt when people don't like them. They usually have lots of friends, and they love to goof off. They're notorious for their messy rooms. These are the four temperaments. The lion's the powerful one. The retriever's the peaceful one. The beaver's the perfect one. The otter's the popular one. Well, which one would you see yourself as? For us to learn how to work with others, we first have to understand ourselves. For us to be able to collaborate with a hand, we first have to know if we're an ear and an eye. We need to first know who we are. How would you see yourself? How would you describe your temperament? Well, if I could take another aspect of this, you see these temperaments all throughout Scripture. As I said, there's not one of these that is more righteous or more godly than another. God can use these different personalities and different temperaments to different aspects and roles in his kingdom. Just four famous examples throughout Scripture. You start with the lion. Paul the Apostle is the lion. Paul the Apostle is the one. He comes into the city. He's going to charge the Jews. He's going to charge the Pharisees. He's going to get out and tell the Christians how to fix all their problems. He's going to come in and he's going to take charge and he's going to get it done. That's the Apostle Paul. And when you read the book of Galatians, the book of Galatians is probably the best illustration of a book ever written by a lion in the history of the world, because it is a take charge kind of book that tells them, get right, church. That's what a lion does. On the other hand, you have the retriever, who's Abraham. Abraham's the peacekeeper in his family. He tries to come and he tries to make peace with Lot. He tries to go and he makes peace with the king. He makes peace with the nations. He's the peacekeeper. That's Abraham. You then go into the beaver. Moses is the beaver. A beaver is the only individual and the only personality that could write the book of Leviticus. An otter would get too distracted. A lion would be telling someone else what to do. And a retriever would be trying to find somebody to make happy. A beaver is going to be the detailed-oriented individual who precisely writes down every detail of the law and keeps track of it. And finally, then, the otter. The otter, then, is going to be Peter. Peter's the one who, he's just everywhere as you go throughout the Gospels. Lord, we don't want you to be the one who's going to be killed. I mean, Lord, we're going to follow you to do everything that you say. Lord, we're going to follow you. Lord, who is the best in your kingdom? Lord, how can we do your will? Lord, I mean, he's just, when you read throughout the Gospels, he just exasperates me at times. He's all over the place. That's Peter. He's the otter. Well, again, my illustration with this, God uses these different personalities. What are the strengths of these? Well, each of these have strengths, and we're going to talk about strengths, and we're going to talk about weaknesses. Let's go through the lion. The lion has direction. God's kingdom needs people who know how to get something done. God's kingdom needs directed, goal-oriented individuals who are going to get a task done. The church needed Paul just as much as the church needed Peter. The churches of Galatia, they needed a lion personality to come in and tell them, get right, church. God's kingdom needs lions. But there's strengths to the other personalities as well. Lions are notorious for thinking that they are the only ones that have the right personality and everyone else should be just like them. Retrievers, on the other hand, they're the calm ones. God's kingdom needs peacekeepers. Blessed are the peacekeepers. It's a part of the Beatitude. Blessed are the retrievers. Blessed are the ones who keep the peace. God's kingdom needs the peacekeeper with that calm temperament who can come into a situation, bring conflicting parties back together, resolve people back together, and make sure that the needs of people are met. That's the retriever. The beaver, they're the analytical one. They're detail-oriented. And brethren, God's kingdom needs detail-oriented people. People who can look at our current work, analyze it, figure out how we can improve, figure out how we can grow, figure out where our weaknesses are, figure out where our strengths are, to look at our worship service, to look at our evangelism, to look at our collective work and analyze in detail and very precisely figure out the best plan for moving forward. That's what a beaver does. And finally, the otter. The otter's the people person. And brethren, again, God's kingdom needs people. Because that's our business. As D. Bowman says all the time, it's all about the people. And God's kingdom needs otters who are going to be the people-oriented individual who goes around and talks to everybody in the congregation, can tell you what's going on in Helen's life, can tell you what's going on in Joyce's life, can tell you what's going on in Virginia's life. If you want to find out what's going on in someone's life, go to an otter. Because they truly care about everybody, they know everything that's going on, and they are in their home praying for these people. That's the otter. Well, what are the weaknesses? Well, they each have weaknesses. The lion can be very bossy because lions know how to get something done. Lions are directed, they're goal-oriented, but that can often come across as bossiness. Going to the retriever can be calm and people-oriented, but retrievers can just be very indecisive and don't want to make people mad. Because they're so intent on keeping the peace that it's very difficult for them to actually make a decision, and they just want to keep everybody happy, so I'm not going to be the one to make a decision. Going to another example, the beaver. The beaver has spent 5 weeks thinking what the best way to tie their shoes is, and so they're pretty convinced their way's the only right way because no one else has put as much time or thought into it as they have. They're detail-oriented, so they can be somewhat misunderstanding of others. And finally, the otter's going to be very unfocused. The otter just has difficulty getting anything done because they're so focused on everybody else. So, brethren, what's your temperament? Well, Kirby, what's my temperament? How did you guess? I am very easily described as the lion. And Kirby, what is your temperament? Kirby is the otter. Easy, easy one. Kirby is an otter if I've ever met one. If I can go back to the story with me and Grayson, Grayson's a beaver. I'm a lion. I'm going to tell Grayson how he should live his life and what the best way to get it is, because I know. I'm directed. I'm goal-oriented. Just listen to me. I will tell you how to improve your grades. I will tell you how to improve your life. I will tell you. I'm a lion. Listen to me. A beaver's not going to have any of that because he's thought it through way more carefully than I have. It was only when we understood our different temperaments that we were able to cultivate a very close relationship. And brethren, likewise, I think we have to understand, what is my temperament and what's the temperament of brethren? There are hundreds of personality theories out there. There's Myers-Briggs, there's Jungian, there's the DISC assessment. You can go through hundreds. This is the one that I come back to over and over and over and over and over again. I have typified every single one of you. And I can tell you right now probably what almost any of your temperaments are, because it helps me to understand you. My wife is a beaver. And I know that to make my wife happy, she needs the details. She needs to be left alone to contemplate and consider something. And I'm not going to come in and tell her how to do it. That may be my instinct, but I'm not going to be the one to tell her how to do it, because she needs time to carefully think it through. Each of our shepherds, if I can tell you all my typifications of them, we have three of the four. Randy's a fellow lion. Kirby's an otter. Randy's a retriever. They whispered it to me. Each of them already knew. It's good to know what you are. And brethren, if I can say, each of them do an excellent job of fulfilling their role, but also being aware of their weaknesses. If I can just give one other illustration to round out the four, we don't have a fourth elder. My guess is there'll be a beaver at some point whenever they're appointed. But just thinking through the congregation, I think our most beaverish individual is Andy. Andy last week, if you don't mind me picking on you, at our encouragement group last week, Andy was talking about how whenever he makes trips, plans for trips, he goes on websites, he reads books, he goes through magazines, he'll go through a brochure, he'll get all the details down, he'll probably figure out every pit stop, figure out every restaurant, figure out every hotel. That's a beaver. An otter's never going to go anywhere because they're just running in circles. A lion's going to tell everybody else where they need a vacation. And then a golden retriever, they're just going to go wherever you want to go. We have to be aware of what our strengths and our weaknesses are. If I can illustrate it this way. A couple of weeks ago, Daniel spent a day with me here, and we just went through the building, just organizing some of the rooms. While my dominant trait is a lion, my recessive trait is a beaver. I'll have very strong beaver instincts. I have no retriever. I don't have a calm bone in my entire body, and I have no otter in me at all. I'm a very strong lion beaver. That's my temperament. A couple of weeks ago, Daniel and I were organizing the rooms. And as he and I went to go and organize the workroom up there, that was my beaver instinct. You know, I wanted the papers in a certain order. I needed everything to be exact because I'm trying to maximize efficiency and productivity. That's what a beaver does. But what the lion does. Daniel, I need you to take this paper. I need you to take it to the back, please. Can you please take this paper and put it on the second shelf? Can you please have these type staples? They need to be right under this one. Please, Daniel, do it right now, please. That's what a lion does. And my good friend Daniel knows me well enough to know that's just my lion instinct. But brethren, let me also say this. That is not an excuse for me to be bossy. That is not an excuse for me to be rude. And that is not an excuse for me to in any way let my speech be unseasoned. My speech needs to be gracious. Lions, my fellow lions, we need to understand how we come across to people. And we need to be loving, and we need to be calm. And we need to let our speech be seasoned with salt. Retrievers, I'm thankful that you're the peacekeepers. But at times you need to make a decision. At times you need to make a decision. Beavers, I am so thankful for your detail and I'm thankful for your precision. But others of us have good ideas too. Otters, I appreciate how people-oriented you are, but sometimes you need to focus on a task and get it done. Those are our temperaments. For us, brethren, to understand our brethren, we need to understand ourselves and we need to understand one another. Well, continuing on back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I know I spent quite a bit of time with that, but that was something that was life-changing for me. I have used that to save so many relationships. Just to understand myself, to understand someone else. And if you're interested in taking the quizzes to get more detail with this, I can give you lots of resources. Do a quick Google search for the four animal temperaments. You'll find one online that you can take if you're so uncertain what you are. How do we work together? We have four dominant temperaments. And every single one of these is represented in this church. We have otters, we have beavers, we have retrievers, and we have lions. How do we work together? Well, I want us to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, picking up in verse 21, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, picking up in verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. The second principle I would urge us to this is, brethren, we have to understand one another. We have to understand each other. As it tells us in verse 23, to those parts of the body we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. I, as a lion, don't understand otters. I appreciate beavers. To an extent, I appreciate retrievers. But otters are the ones I just shake my head at times. And Kirby knows that sometimes when we're working together, Kirby, focus. Kirby, focus. Ryan, be nice. Ryan, be nice. How do we overcome that? Kirby's a great otter. What I've come to recognize is I've seen his strengths. I've come to understand that while I'm too task-oriented, Kirby is thinking about the soul of every individual here. And while at times I may want him to be a bit more task-oriented, he perhaps will want me to be less task-oriented, he cares deeply about every single soul and every single individual. That's the strength of understanding. Because while we may think other members of the body are less honorable, oh, brother, no. God has given them the honor. We are one body. Lions, beavers, retrievers, which one do I leave out? And otters. We need to come together to build the dam. We need to come together and understand one another to work together as a part of God's body. The final principle I'm going to encourage you with comes from 1 Corinthians 12, picking up in verse 31. But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you still more a more excellent way. What he's done in this part is he's talked about how they've divided themselves by these gifts. But I'm going to show you a more excellent way. What is this more excellent way? Chapter 13, verse 1. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. Over to chapter 14, verse 1. Pursue love. Brethren, how are we to work with different personalities? How am I, as a strong lion, going to work with an otter, with a retriever, with a lion, and with a beaver? It's this. Brethren, we have to love one another. The more excellent way that God has given us is one of love, where I am more concerned about you than I am myself. I love my God, and I love you, and I want us to get to heaven together, and I want us to do His will. And I'm not going to let personality differences divide us. I'm not going to let our temperaments segment us, but I'm going to let the love of God bring us together. Because we have one faith, one God, and we have one love. And that must be what unites us. We cannot be so focused on our personality differences. At times, we like to take pride in our personality, right? Matt is a golden retriever. He knows it to the core. I'm a lion. Lions eat golden retrievers. Matt knows that. as Matt and I have been working together on some of the home Bible study material, my difficulty has to be as a lion. I'm going to love Matt, I'm going to respect his opinion, and I'm going to stop talking and I'm going to listen because I love you, brother. And he understands at times that I'm going to be a lion and he's going to love me in spite of it. A couple weeks ago, Matt told me this, I didn't even know it. But I was organizing the singing a couple weeks ago, and in my lionish fashion, I went around to make sure everything was in order. And Matt, you have opening prayer, just want to make sure you know. He was like, you could have told me a bit more nicely. Yeah, I could have. I mean, an otter, of course, would have forgotten to have told you. A beaver would have made sure you had it right. And a golden retriever, you needed a fellow golden retriever to make sure that it was told in a nice way. But, brethren, we have to love one another. We cannot be divided on this. And, brethren, I've seen examples of this here, where we think that our temperament is the best, and we refuse to understand each other. Brethren, that's going to divide us. We need to let the love of God unite us. So let's go back to our original question. How can we work through personality differences and even similarities? Here's my three principles. Number one is this. A unified body requires many members. I am thankful the church is not a bunch of lions. I'm thankful the church is not a bunch of otters. It's not a bunch of beavers. It's not a bunch of retrievers. I'm thankful we have all four. Because God in His providence has used different people of different personalities, of different backgrounds, and of different strengths, and of different weaknesses. He has used each of them to His glory. And that diversity of different temperaments, that is what gives us our strength. We may be united by our love of God, but in many ways, it is our differing strengths that really gives us our true strength. Number two is this. We have to understand each other. I have to understand each other. As difficult as it may be for me at times to understand what makes an otter tick, to understand how calm a retriever can be, to understand how slow to decide a beaver can be, I need to seek to understand. And finally, and above all, is this. Brethren, we need to love. We need to let the love of Christ control us. And we need to love our body. Because if the eye is at war with the hand, and if the ear is at war with the foot, the body's going to tear itself apart. It's only when we are united. I know my role. I know my role as a member of the body. But I also understand my collective identity with a greater body. That is when we will truly be the body of Christ. And that's how we work together. Get out your songbooks, please. I know the sermon this evening was a big change of pace from this morning, but I truly hope that it's something that's beneficial. While the Bible may not talk about the four temperaments, God has given a lot of personalities. And this is something that has personally helped me immensely over the last decade, to work with different members of the body, to work with different people of different backgrounds and of different strengths and of different weaknesses, to understand, to love, and to work. And brethren, that needs to be our goal, that we are going to work together, that we're going to understand each other, and that we're going to love one another and do the will of God. That's what we're called to do. Well, looking for the invitation this evening, maybe you're not yet a part of that body of Christ. Maybe you're not in the body of Christ. God has given one body yet many members. There is one body. Ephesians 1 tells us, we are the body, Christ is the head. Christ has given His body. We are His hands, we are His feet, we are His body that accomplish His will now on this earth. Maybe you need to get into that one body. To get into the body of Jesus Christ where He can take away your sins and He can bring you to a new life and He can transform you. The power of the gospel is it can take the weaknesses that are truly things of sin and it can transform them into things that are glorious. That's the power of the gospel. If anybody this evening needs to come to Christ and come to the body of Christ, come forward now while we stand and sing.